You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, welcome back to the New Churches Podcast, episode 8 billion or something like that. We're continuing our conversations about church planting. Let me encourage you that if you find these helpful, sharing a review actually helps other people find it as well. Also, too, tweet the podcast links that you find helpful. Sometimes I'll see it and I'll retweet them as well. We just want church planters to be helped and encouraged, provoked to love and good deeds, as the writer of Hebrews says. So again, one of the things we talk about in this is we set a pretty broad table around conversations. And we're going to talk today in and around the area of bivocationalism. Now, I'm the incoming dean at Talbot Seminary, Biola University, and just yesterday we had a faculty forum, and I haven't started there yet, but I happen to be in town, so I went to the faculty forum. My friend of many years, Eric Geiger, shared at the faculty forum about trends in church. I love that Talbot School of Theology is asking questions about trends in church, how to connect better with church. And one of the things he said is, it's fascinating how people, his words, are toggling back and forth between vocational ministry and you know, what you could call secular work. You know, even when I say that, I object to the word, but nevertheless, toggling back and forth, like Paul did. Paul was sometimes in what we might call full-time vocational ministry, sometimes in bivocational. Some people use the word co-vocational. I actually think that's a good thing. Now, there are ramifications of that. For example, I think, you know, 50 years ago, you'd be at some Wesleyan meeting and somebody would stand up and say, come up and commit your life to full-time vocational ministry. And you'd come and there was kind of a clarity of that and you'd step into that. And I'm for those things. But I also think, man, there's a biblical pattern of actually stepping in and out of those kinds of things and valuing in a way we don't now bivocational or co-vocational ministry. Well, actually, our guest, our conversation partner today is Brad Briscoe. He's the director of bivocational church planning for the Send Network as a doctorate in missional ecclesiology. He's on the national leadership team for Forge America. It's a mission training network. Written several books, Missional Essentials, a co-author of that. Missional Quest, which I had the privilege of writing the foreword to. Next Door, As It Is in Heaven as well. Really good stuff. So let's just jump in with him and start this conversation. Brad, share with us a little bit about what is bivocationalism, what is co-vocationalism, what's the difference between the two, and just give us a general, again, as I said last time we had you on, you know, explain it to me like I'm five, because again, this is a new concept for a lot of people. We have a lot of bivocational, co-vocational church planters who listen, but also a lot of people, that's a foreign idea for them.
Yeah, very good. It's always good to be with you, Ed. So yeah, just to jump in, I just allude to what, something you just said. I do think bivocationalism, sometimes bivocational pastors, bivocational planters kind of feel like second-class citizens or second-class pastors. So around that, I think sometimes we need to change the narrative. I think there's a biased narrative that too often is negative around bivocationalism. So when I moved into this new role several years ago with the North American Mission Board, I knew one of the things I wanted to do was try to change that narrative. But at the same time, I'll say that I think the language sometimes of bivocational can actually get in the way of what we want to accomplish. In other words, I think that language will sometimes tend to make us bifurcate or compartmentalize our work and our ministry. So a few years ago, we started playing around with different words, and you just said it, the word co-vocational. I felt like we needed to not replace the language of bivo, but we needed, in a sense, to expand the language. So I still use the language of both bivocational and co-vocational, but here's the little nuance in my mind, is I'll say a bivocational church planter is someone who has a part-time job in the marketplace that they see as temporary. So in other words, their hope or their dream or their aspiration is that church plant grows to the point to where they can leave their part-time job and focus full-time on the church.
And just so we're clear, that's kind of what many people are familiar with, is that I got a job, but I hope to get out of that job. So that's that. Right. And that was me. That was me. I was a insulation contractor, but my role, my hope was to get out of being a you know, renovation contractor and into the church full time in Buffalo.
And I want to encourage that. I want to say there's a lot of beautiful benefits of being bivocational, and there is nothing wrong with desiring to eventually focus full time on the church. So nothing wrong with that. But where I felt like we needed to expand the language, when I use the word co-vocational, a lot of times I'll say, so think about that word co-vocational. So co is, the C-O comes from the Latin prefix com, which means to have in common or to have together. So think of words like co-pilot or co-author or co-laborer. So the nuance for me as a co-vocational church planter is someone who has a job in the marketplace that they never intend to leave. So in other words, they know that God has called or wired them to be an architect or an engineer or a school teacher or a web designer. And at the same time, they feel like God's called them to start something. So I want to encourage them to recognize they don't have to choose between work in the marketplace and full-time ministry or church planting. That in fact, we can help them align those two things together. So that's a little nuance for me. Bivocational, they're both good. One's not better than the other, but bivocational is someone that has a part-time job in the marketplace they see as temporary. Co-vocational is someone that's been called to a primary calling in the marketplace that they never intend to leave, but in both cases, they want to try to start something new.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that the distinction there, I think, is helpful. And we want to hold up both. So let's talk about some of the benefits. And I guess you can touch on both as you go through that. But the benefits of bivocational, co-vocational. And let me just share for me, I actually have had the privilege of seeing, I was bivocational when I was planting that first church in Buffalo and saw people come to faith in Christ. We got to know, I had relationships with people who didn't know the Lord in a way. Right. And let me just tell you, a construction crew that I ran, it's a little different kind of folks. The last church I planted, I was actually working at Lifeway. So I want to be very careful that that's kind of not the same thing, but I will tell you, I was a volunteer. I was an unpaid volunteer. And one of the great advantages was I didn't need the pay. And so, and I only had, 10 plus 15 hours a week to donate, to give. I did it as a ministry, as a volunteer, the right term. But I was the lead pastor of that. And that was a real joy to be able to say to the church, let's not worry about the finances as well. So those are a couple that come to mind for me, relationships and finances, but there are more. Talk to us some about the benefits of Bivo and Covo.
Well, just recently I wrote a blog post for new churches, and there's lots of benefits, but I tried to kind of structure or organize all the benefits around five words. So let me tell you what the words are. You've already hit a couple of them right there, Ed. So let me tell you the five words, and then we'll just a couple sentences on each of them. So the five words are missiological, credibility, financial, empowerment, and voice. So here's what I mean by that. Missiological is what you just said, Ed. You have access to a mission field you wouldn't have otherwise. So if you have a job in the marketplace, either bivocational or co-vocational, you have connection and relational capital with people that will never come to one of the programs and activities of the church. So that's an enormous missionary or missiological benefit. Credibility, you also just alluded to that, is I think it gives the church planter great street cred both inside the church and outside the church. So inside the church, people understand that you know what it looks like for them Monday through Friday, that you can relate to what it looks like to have a job in the marketplace during the week. So I think there's great street cred or credibility or respectability inside the church. But maybe even more important than that, it gives you respectability outside the walls of the church. As you build relationships and have conversations with lost people, instead of leading with, well, I'm a pastor, I'm a church planter, that for some people that's a bizarre occupation, that you can lead with whatever your marketplace calling is. So there's credibility. The third word is financial. I think there's so many financial benefits, I think, of being Bivo or Covo. I think there's a great financial benefit to the church planter. And what I mean by that is when the primary support for the church planter is coming from the marketplace, there's just less financial strain on the church planter's family, especially if that job in the marketplace provides benefits like vacation or retirement or insurance. So huge financial benefit for the church planter. I think there's financial benefit for the church plant itself, because we know if the primary support's coming from the marketplace, there's just going to be more resources available for mission and ministry. And then lastly, I'll say under the financial piece that there's a benefit to the church planting entity. So regardless of what denomination you're a part of, whatever your local like church planting network is or national, we just don't have enough money to plant all the churches that we need to plant. So the only way we're going to see a real church planting movement or really great multiplication is by engaging with bivocational and co-vocational leaders. So I think there's missiological benefits. There's a benefit of credibility or respectability, financial empowerment. What I mean by that is that, with any church plant, we know it's best to plant with a team. But if you're bivo or covo, there's no other option. Like if you're working 30, 40, 50 hours a week in the marketplace, people in the church know you can't do it all. So there's like this inbuilt ability to activate all the people or empower all the people. And they realize that you can't do it all. It's funny. There's one particular guy, I remember interviewing him, a co-vocational planter, and asking him what the greatest benefit was. And I remember him saying that because he had a very demanding job in the marketplace, he said he never had to ask for a volunteer.
That's good.
So in other words, everybody in the church knew that he was working 50 or 60 hours a week, so he couldn't do it. So they had to step up. So that's what I mean by empowerment. And then lastly, voice. It's just that sometimes I think a church leader needs to speak boldly about difficult issues. And if the possibility of offending those who provide your financial support is in play, I think the reality is it can weaken or lessen the leader's voice. So I think when the primary support is coming from the marketplace, the planter is just in a better position to speak more prophetically about things that are going on inside the church and outside the church.
Yeah,
so those are just some of the benefits.
No, and they're super. And I think that's, again, hopefully people are listening and say, oh, this is why we want to talk to Brad Briscoe about this. This is an area he's thought deeply. And I will tell you so resonated with me, even like, I think working at Lifeway and being whatever I was at Lifeway, that is not the same as somebody who's, working at a bank or, driving a truck. But it really still did. So nobody, like, I basically said, I'm going to preach, I'm going to lead staff meeting, I'm going to lead a small group in my home. That's all I really can do. And nobody ever like objected to that. It was like a whole different world because people are just like, oh, he's got a full-time job. And so that makes sense. And so what it did is I think it led to a higher level of engagement and involvement in our church. And I think that's because people said, Ed's working a full-time job, even though it was, Christian space. And that made sense. So that's super helpful, description. Okay. So then what are some of the challenges? Because I mean, I'm framing the question with some of the, I mean, it was hard sometimes. And I want to, I have a friend who's a postal worker and a bivocational pastor, and he's worn out. There's a reason that he wants to move out of that into a full-time church role. I think it's hard to maybe we just need to think differently about how church is done and kind of force some of these things off the role of the pastor. But first, talk about some of the challenges, and then let's talk about how to address those challenges. So what are some of the challenges that come being bivo?
Well, no doubt the number one challenge every single time I ask a bivo covo planter, it's always has to do with time management. I mean, it's managing multiple aspects of life, including work and family and ministry, your own rest or personal health. It's just managing all of those aspects of life at the same time. It just gets more difficult. I do think there are some practical things, and there's even like some maybe philosophical things, though, we need to do differently. Like you just referenced it, Ed. One of the things is we probably need to rethink church planting just a bit. So, again, if you're working 40 or 50 hours a week in the marketplace, we just can't plant a church the way we've always planted churches, raising large amounts of money, gearing up for a launch large kind of Sunday-centric approach, that we need to have a longer runway kind of perspective where we're going about it with more time. I mean, we're not trying to put everything together in a very short period of time because funding's going to run out. So there's lots of practical things. And like I say, I think there's some more philosophical things we need to do to overcome that number one challenge of managing all those different aspects of life.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to have a conversation about if our approach to church is professional clergy centric, it's very difficult to do this bivocationally. So you've got to push away some of the, and again, I have just have some experience with this, but even with that, you know, so like for me, you know, I would preach, I think 3 out of 4 Sundays, maybe 2 out of 3 Sundays, but you know, I've been preaching a long time. So, you know, I can prepare a sermon more quickly, things of that sort. I don't think you can do, you probably can't preach every Sunday, you know, do all of his, you can't do all the things that would be required the way we think of church and pastoring in Western cultural context. So what are some models that you've seen where people have actually been able to move the leadership out of the clergy-centric model so bivocationalism and co-vocationalism can thrive? I guess you probably don't have to do as much in bivocationalism, but if this is a long-term thing, you're going to have to find ways to do that. What are some ways you've seen that work?
Well, first off, and this can be a little bit idealistic, but I've seen people do this, is I think the perfect scenario is to have 2 or 3 co-vocational couples and 2 or 3 co-vocational singles that say, look, I've got a primary calling in the marketplace, but I can give 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours a week to the church plant. Well, think if you had 2 or 3 couples that were doing that and 2 or 3 singles that were doing that, and they were all going together to plant a church, imagine the relational capital that those 10 or 12, 15, 20 people would have. If they all had marketplace callings, they would just have relational connections that would just be crazy good. But then also think about the financial stability. If you had that 12 or 15 or 20 people, all their support was coming from the marketplace, that church plant would just be in a much better position. So I think the best case scenario is to think about having a team of co-vocational leaders going together to plant a church. And then also just emphasize the fact that we have to do this with a team. I'll say team. You just, if you're bivo or covo, you cannot plant as a lone ranger. You have to do it with other couples and other singles.
Yeah. And so, and part of the problem is that that's not how even we think about there. So there's something in our culture that's not healthy, where we have to be the hero and we have to be the center. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can have a healthy co-vocational long-term. Again, I think, you know, I'm not saying I want you to be the center or the hero, but short-term, I think it can be more of a traditional model if you're going to be bivocational leading into that. But I agree wholeheartedly, there's a shift that needs to take place as well. Okay, so what is it? So how do we find that balance? What can a bivocational church planner do to better manage time so that this works well? I mean, we already talked about the team thing, but there's more than that.
Yeah, I would say one philosophical thing and then 2 or 3 super practical things. I think one thing that having conversations with the co-vocational leaders a lot of times, I really encourage them to try not to compartmentalize their work in ministry. I mean, I can't tell you how many conversations I have with church planters that will actually, they'll tell me they feel guilty with the amount of time they spend at work because those are hours they can't spend on the church plant. And I want to say, look, start by finding a way to align those things together, to integrate those things together. Don't compartmentalize or bifurcate your work in ministry. And there's a lot we need to do there, but it's really recapturing the theology of work where we see that all work matters and all work is important. And we've been created for work, but then also to help people see how does their work fit into the mission of God. So we're not compartmentalizing and saying, well, I work over here so I can do ministry over here. So I think that's a place to start, is to see how can we align and really kind of cohere those things together. And then I'd say just real practically speaking, this is super simple stuff, but I think as a bivo-covo leader, and really any leader would probably needs to operate this way, but I tell them, you have to operate with a planner and a calendar.
Yeah.
Like make sure you have a to-do list, and then you decide what goes on that list, and you decide what goes on that calendar. And just make sure you have the margin there. Like when you're scheduling, you know, church appointments or meetings, look at your calendar and you decide, can I really do this tomorrow or do I need to put this off for another day or 2 days later? So I just think we need to use a planner and calendar, and then you make sure that you manage that calendar and don't let anyone else to manage that calendar for you. The second thing, and we've already said this, but just to emphasize it, make sure you plant with a team and make sure as you plant with a team that you focus on your gifting. So if you're a gifted teacher, then you focus on that. But if you're not the gifted teacher, then make sure you have someone on your team that is, so you can really operate in your gifting. I think both those things are just are crucial. And then the other thing, I guess this is probably a little more philosophical as well, is I think we need to we need to work harder at managing expectations. And I think that relates to the planter, but also to the congregation.
Yeah.
So first off, we have to manage our own expectations and really probably need to have conversations with close friends about this. But like, why are you motivated to do some of the things that you may want to do in the church plant? I mean, just make sure that you have the right motives. Make sure that your ego isn't getting in the way and that you have clear and applicable expectations as a church planter. But then also make sure the congregation understands their expectations or managing their expectations and make sure that they're fully engaged in mission and they don't see you as the church planter that you know, you're supposed to do it all, that they're actually, we're engaging in the priesthood of all believers. Yeah. So I just think there's some simple things like that we just need to focus on as it relates to our own calendar, our own time, make sure we're engaging with team, and then make sure that we're really thinking well about expectations, both from our own perspective, but also whatever expectations our congregation has of us as a church leader.
Yeah. And you, we've not talked much about family, but I know that's a passion for you to safeguard. And you give a lot of advice to bivocational and co-vocational planters around this. So kind of last question, we want to see that balance. We want to see thriving spiritual life. We want to see thriving family life. And that's one of the reasons I should say that if you're going to be bivocational, co-vocational, there are some jobs that are not good jobs for bivocational and co-vocational. We haven't addressed that, but you know, if it's a job that you're doing 60, 70 hours a week, you know, that's not going to be a good connection for that. So that's why it was actually Steve Shogren put a list about helpful jobs for church planters that, you know, and they're really good. You know, school teacher was one on the list, but salesperson, probably not one on the list. Whereas I have a friend who's a church planter who ran a garbage route, he called himself a garbage man. But he, you know, start at 5 a.m, be done by 3, you know, have that afternoon, but they tend to be things that have locked sets of hours. And there's sustainability that's there, or flexibility, not always, but sometimes flexibility. But again, I mentioned that. I want you to talk about how do you encourage bivo and covo planters to find healthy families, healthy spiritual life, healthy families, healthy patterns in their lives in general?
Well, one or two things I would suggest that I try to do. One is you've got to create set times where everyone knows you are not available. So people in the church, they don't have access to you anytime. So this is something super simple, but I use the email auto reply all the time, even when I'm just taking one day off. And sometimes it's real easy to kind of get lazy and say, well, you know, I'll get back to them the next day, or they'll know that the right people know that I'm off today, or I'm taking a paid time off day. Still use that email auto reply. I've noticed it gives me some freedom that they, you know, I know that when they send me an email, they're getting a reply that I'm out today or I'm out for the next 3 days. So just, you've got to create set times that everyone knows you're not available. And then the second thing I think is really healthy, it certainly is for me, is I think for most leaders, they need to set some social media boundaries. So either take a break from social media.
I don't want to agree with that. I don't have any boundaries. So yeah, no, right.
maybe there are in fact people on social media you need to mute or maybe even block so you don't get sucked into stupid debates and arguments. But I do think if you are tempted to spend time there, we need to put up some boundaries around social media. So that is time, more time that we can give to other relationships like our family. So you've got to identify what are some of those boundaries you can set up in your own personal life.
Well, you're listening to the good insights from Brad Briscoe. And thanks again for listening to the New Churches podcast, important conversations to help church planners on their journey of effectively showing and sharing the love of Jesus, multiplying churches, planting churches, and more. So thanks for listening to the New Churches podcast.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.